a transformational way that we will operate our air transportation system in the U.S. and, in fact, how we operate within it. So, indeed, it will be enabled by some new technologies, and I know that many of the listeners have heard about some new technologies being mandated in the future out there, such as automatic dependent surveillance broadcast, or ADS-B, and moving from the so-called ground-based surveillance infrastructure to a more more modern and future satellite-based system. Lots of technology, but that gets put into practice, frankly, through new and innovative procedures and policies, and gets accomplished by people.
And that's the challenge. And in fact, you just have a new report out. Well, the Ash Center up at Harvard University, Harvard's Kennedy School, has a report out. This comes out of discussions that you had over a couple days, talking about, okay, how do we transform this system? Mark, talk a little bit about some of the challenges here.
Oh, yeah, there are many challenges here. As Fred touched, there's the technology side, which is very important. But the larger challenges remain around the transformation that Fred highlighted. First and foremost, this is akin of moving, as we moved our sea navigation, our ships, from lighthouses and celestial navigation to global positioning systems. I mean, this is that big of a shift. Security, safety is the most paramount thing, and on all persons' minds, especially the government's. But in addition to the improved and enhanced safety features that will come out of this, what we'll see are great opportunities for businesses to be have much more efficient routes and hence more efficient businesses. So the big change here is around the transformation, the movement of and change of business models and how one operates in the future, and contrasting it to how we do it today.
Fred, one of the parts that's been really interesting to watch about this process is it is really a collaboration. You have, of course, FAA and the Department of Transportation. You also have Homeland Security. You have NASA. You have the Air Force. There are, and that doesn't even bring in the airlines and the private sector and everybody else involved. There's a lot of people to all keep on the same page here.
Indeed. And Chris, I believe that this cross-boundary program that we refer to involves such a disparate group of stakeholders who truly are not just passive participants, but are truly active participants in this, and will in fact be the difference in whether this is a great success or not. And I believe it will be a great success. And I think that one of the opportunities we had in working with Harvard's Kennedy School of government is to be able to bring together a cross-section of those stakeholders, and in fact, in that case, for almost 2 days, we had indeed the leaders of those different stakeholder communities, such as the airlines and the FAA and DOT and the Department of Defense and academia and the unions that represent the men and women across the country who operate our system safely every day. That therein lies some challenges, because everybody comes at this with a slightly different perspective, with a slightly different business case, if you will, or mission. But also, I think, in the diversity of our stakeholders is where we have the strength to solve the most challenging problems.
Mark, it seems like, and from previous discussions we've had with the NextGen folks, they're actually trying to really herd cats, but doing it in really innovative ways.
Oh, absolutely. I think this step at Harvard was incredibly innovative and incredibly powerful. Again, as you pointed out, a diverse set of stakeholders, each having some slightly different interests, perhaps, but all having some overlapping vital interests together. And it's events like that that they have to pull together for all the stakeholders to realize that they're working towards a common cause here. And they each have a different piece they have to deal with. And as we said earlier, because it's going into kind of a whole new operating model, it's not quite clear yet on how a lot of those pieces will evolve.
Fred, this is in process right now, and so a lot of the stuff is already... When do we anticipate parts of this actually being rolled out? When will it actually be used?
Well, Next Gen is already being used, and so it, as I said earlier, we will have a fairly long-term transition to the full robustness of it. But indeed, many aspects of it are already in use. The FAA, to their credit, has deployed and is finishing deployment of the ADS-B ground infrastructure. So those capabilities exist over the Gulf of Mexico, for example, where we, you know, heretofore didn't have radar coverage, and now we do have surveillance coverage there through the advent of an implementation of that technology. So there are many, many things the FAA has been doing to actually begin to roll out true next-gen capabilities.
Hmm. Mark, I understand one of the big discussion areas was the who should pay as this moves forward.
Oh, yes, that was one of the challenges and discussion areas, and those answers still are yet unclear, because what you have are fundamental shifts in the paradigm. For example, when you go to the next-generation system, the infrastructure moves from being what is now, today, fundamentally a ground-based system to a system that's more virtual. It's in the ground, but it's also in the air. So it's in the cockpit. And the airlines own the airplanes. The ground infrastructure is owned by the government. That's historically how things have happened. And now you're going to have more of this distributed and virtual system. And the question is, well, then who owns it and who pays for it? And that's one of those decisions that has to be addressed by really full understanding of metrics and models on how things should proceed in the future. And that's one of the key next steps that has to be taken.
And this seems like one of those fundamental changes where it's not, okay, we're in charge here and everything flows down from that. It's a much more nuanced approach.
Well, it is, and I'll let Fred go into details on this, but it absolutely is, because in some cases you have to retrofit and change aircraft. That enables different flight patterns, those that might be even more efficient, things to be even tighter than they are today. And as a consequence, if done right, and done in a very coordinated fashion, because it has to be done in a coordinated fashion, airlines have an opportunity to improve their businesses, and the government has an opportunity to improve safety.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of winners out of this equation. But right now, the way it's set up, you have to kind of follow the least common denominator. You know, you can't operate a new system unless everybody's really playing.